Okay, we're starting here on the top of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, 11 lines down. Where it begins, Haimon Dekarche Chivya, someone who has a snake that has wrapped themselves around him. Linchot Lamayo, should descend to go down to a body of water. The Lischof Dikula Aresha, and then he should force a basket, Lahadke Mine, and then separate the snake from him. So he has to take this basket and then put the snake, or kind of force the snake away from his body, to start wrapping itself around the basket. And then when he's successful, when he wraps himself around the basket, throw it into the water. And then he should take off and run out of there because the snake will otherwise go after him again. So he needs to both separate the snake from him plus get rid of the snake. So he gets the snake to wrap around the basket and he tosses it into the water. And he has to be careful, as Rashi says, you put the basket down slowly because if the snake senses that he's doing anything, that he'll tighten his hold on the individual because he thinks that he's being pulled away. So you have to do this gently by sliding the basket in and getting the snake to put its head into the basket. Haiman de mikne be chivya. If a snake basically locked on to a person, smelled him, he wants him. If he has another partner with him, lirkeve arba garmide. Friends should pick him up on his shoulders and carry him for garmide in order that they should lose his scent. Trail goes blank. Vilo, if he doesn't have that, ishuar nagro. They should jump over a ditch with water in it, because that way, again, the trail will end because of the body of water. Vilo, la vernaro. Cross through the water itself. Obelelio, if it's at night, lotve le purayo, ar arba chavito. He should raise his bed up onto four pitchers, four barrels. Vinigne be kochve. He should sleep under the stars, because the fear here is that the snake's gonna chase him down. We don't want to be under the roof, because the snake can come off the roof and land on him. We want to raise the bed off the ground so that he doesn't come up from the ground. Velite dalet shunare, should get four cats. Velisrinu ba'arba kari de purayo, and then should tie them on four bedposts. Velite shchafe, velishte hatam, he should bring garbage items that make noise when you go over them. Rashi says, anafim vekisimim, branches and kindling. You throw it on the floor there, and davar shmikashkesh, anything that makes noise. Kisha makale, achlile, they hear the snake approaching the bed, it'll wake the cats up, it'll alert them, and they'll eat the snake. Haiman deroyit abay. If you have a snake that is chasing you down, run through the sand, because the snake can't slither, can't make its way through sand, so the best escape route is to go to the sand where it can't chase you down. If a woman sees a snake that's caught the eye of the woman, and she's not sure if the snake has, we'll call it, fallen in love with this woman, taken interest in this woman, tishlach mano v'nishdei kamesh, you should take off articles of clothing and throw it in front of the snake. If the snake wraps itself around the clothing, then he's been taken by her. If not, then the snake's not interested in her. What's the solution to this problem? Should have marital relations in front of him, because that'll get his mind off the matter, because she's taken. That's going to spurn him on more. Ella, she should take from her hair, from her nails, and she should throw it at him. Tema distanana. Tell them that I'm a nido. Obviously, she's not a nido, or even if she is, this is, as Rashi says, just a lachash, the way to get rid of the snake. A woman who a snake enters her private area and has planted himself there. So lifsa vodvua atarte chavita. She should get up and stand on top of two barrels or two pitchers. Velete bisra shmeino. She should bring some fatty meat. Lishte gumre. Place it on the coals. Velete agano de tachlein. So she should bring a basket full of cress. Chamra richatno. And wine that is aromatic. Velotu hatam. And then place them down. So you have all these things with very, very strong smells. Velitrokinhu. And then beat them v'hadeh adadi together. So you have the fat meat, you know, basically having a barbecue, plus very strong smelling wine, plus this cress in the basket, which is all aromatic, gives off a smell. She should hold tongs in her hands. When the snake smells all this going on out there, nofik va'ate, so he's gonna come out, he's gonna exit, stick his head out. And she should grab him with the tongs. And then she should singe him or burn him up in the fire. She has those coals down there for the meat. Burn him up. Dilo. Because if she doesn't get rid of the snake, meaning burn him up, he'll return. He's not going anywhere. he's found his place and he wants to be back there. He's going back there unless she destroys, kills the snake. Kol ha'ochlim. Our Mishnah said that all food substances are not considered to be refuah. Kol ha'ochlim li'tu'emai. All ochlim, what does that come to include? Li'tu'ei t'chol li'shinayim. Even if you eat spleen for the benefit of your teeth. V'karshinim li'bnei me'ayim. The vetches used for animal feed. For your stomach. This was mentioned in Brachot that these items are good for one and bad for the other. Which is that t'chol, when you eat it, is good for the teeth. But it's bad for your stomach or for your digestive system. On the other hand, the karshinim are good for your digestive system, but bad for your teeth. So over here, it would be questionable. When someone eats these, it would seem like they're doing it for refuah, because it has one beneficial quality, but it has a different detrimental quality to it. So only someone who was doing it for medicinal purposes would probably eat this, because otherwise, why would you expose yourself to the negative sides of this? Nevertheless, that's what the Mishnah says. If it's an ochel and people eat it, then that's not considered to be refuah because it's a food and it's not a medicine or vetches. Kala mashkim, the Mishnah says that all drinks are okay. Le'tuyei mei tzlafin, to include caper juice, vichometz, and vinegar. Ravina Rava Maulishtot mei raglaim b'shabbat. Are you allowed to drink urine on Shabbat? Malay tanina kala mashkim shote mei raglaim lo shatu inche. Says all drinks you can drink on Shabbat. Urine people don't drink. It's a substance that people do not drink it outside of the medicinal qualities of it, curative properties of the urine. And therefore you can't classify it as something that's a regular drink that you would say, oh, I just drank something. No, you didn't drink. You drank something that's clearly used for medicinal purposes, and that would not be permitted on Shabbat. Chutz mimei dekalim. The Mishnah said you can drink any drink except from this, the water of the palm trees. Tana chutz mimei dekarim. Some have it say, or add on to this, except for mei dekarim, which is Egyptian beer. Madatana mei dekarim sheim dukrim et tamara. They puncture the gallbladder. Come out from between these two palm trees, and my made the kalim. There are two palm trees in Eretz Yisrael. Nafka ena demaya binayu. And then there's this live spring that comes out from between them. Kasakamo mrafe. You drink the first cup, it's a laxative, loosens you up. Idach. The next cup is mishal shel. It makes you have shulshul. V'idach. And the third cup, keichi de'aile alchei nafke. It goes in a liquid form, comes out in a liquid form, meaning that it's, you've completely cleared out the system. Amar ula ledidi shati shichwa de bavlai. I drank the Babylonian beer. Umale minayu. It's even better than them. It worked even better than this made the kalim. It comes from Eretz Yisrael. Who? To lo ragil bay araim yomim. That's only hasn't drank the Babylonian beer over the last 40 days. The person is already accustomed to that type of beer. It's not going to do anything for him. It's only if you don't normally drink it, and that's why it had that impact on him. Rav Yosef Amar, Zeituma Mitzri, the Egyptian beer, is Tilta Sare, Vitilta Kortami, Vitilta Milcha. It's made up of a third of barley, one third of safflower, and one third salt. Papa Amar, it's made up of Tilta Chite, one third wheat, one third Tilta Kortami, saffron, and Tilta Milcha, and one third salt. Simanech, how do you remember who said what? Sisane. It's a basket which they pick the dates. They put the dates into this basket. So this Sisiani is Samach Samach. So the Samach Samach is Rav Yosef, who's the one who says Sa'arei. Right, so it's in and a Samach. The double makes it that Rav Yosef is the one who, if you want to remember, says barley. That's how you remember it. There's a mnemonic to remember it. V'shatilu ben Dabchala Tzerta. And you drink it between Pesach and Shavuot. The Kamit Mirafile. If you're constipated, it loosens you up. The Rafe Kamitle. And if one is already loose, then it slows them down. Works in the opposite of whatever state you find yourself in. If you need a laxative, it works as a laxative. If you need to have something that stops you up, it also stops you up. Which is interesting that it's ben dabcho de atzerta, because on Pesach, you bring the korban haomer from the se'orim, and on atzeret and shvuot, you bring the shtei lechem from the chitim. And here we have Rav Papa and Rav Yosef arguing about what the contents of this beer are, whether it's made out of se'orim or chitim. Alright, next we have in the Mishnah, Kos Ikarim. Can't drink the Kos Ikarim on Shabbat. That's not considered to be a normal drink. My Kos Ikarim. What is this Kos Ikarim? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Laiti Matkal Zuza Kuma. To bring a Zuz, which is a coin, but they use the coin also as a weight. So you make that amount of Kuma. Rashi says it comes from the Srafa Ilan, gum. It's from the sap of a tree. Kuma Alexandria, from Alexandria, Mitzrayim. Matkal Zuza Gavya Gila. And then you should bring another Zuz worth of alum, as Rashi translates it. Umatka zuza kurkuma rishka. And then you bring another zuz worth of karkum, which is
garden crocus.
And you should crush them together. You should grind them together, crush them together. Lizava, a woman who is a zava, or flowing blood coming out of her. Then you put in tlato, bichamra, velomi akra. You put the three of these ingredients into wine. You mix it with wine. And it does not cause her to be sterile. The irikona, if you need it for jaundice, then you take train b'shichva, two of these ingredients, and you put it into the beer, umiakir, but as a side effect of causing sterility. That's the refuah for this zavah. V'ilo, if she doesn't have this, then what's the alternative? Rashi explains that v'ilo here means, if this doesn't work, maybe you'll need the next one, or if you don't have these materials, here's an alternative. Maybe you don't have these raw materials, we can get you another way to do it. Laita tzlata pize, shamche parsai. Pize is a kli utensil that holds three lug. Shamche are bitzalim, onions, and parsai are from Persia, but Rashi says they're big onions. V'nishlok bechamra, and then you should cook them up in wine. V'nishkai, you make her drink it. V'neimala, you say to her, kum mizovich. Come out of your state of zava. Vilo, lotva ar pashat dirachim, you sit around a fork in the road. Vilin kita kasa de chamra biyadash, you should hold a cup of wine in her hand. Vilayte inish machura, someone should approach her from behind. Livato, and scare her. Vilna kum mizovech, and tell her to get up from her state of zava. Vilo, that doesn't work. Leite bona de kimono. Bring a bona again as a menstruament. Rashi says it's some loe growth. Fistful of kimono is cumin. Ubona de morika, and a fistful of saffron. Ubona de ashav lilta, and a fistful of fenugreek. Venishlok bechamra, and then you cook them up in wine, ashkaya, and you have her drink it. Venemala kumizovech, and say to her, come out of your state of zava. Vilof, that doesn't work. Leite shitin shie de dana, you should take 60 shie clay seals from the barrels. Velishve, and then you should put it on her, paste it on her. Lemela kumizovech, get up from your state of ziva. Vilo, that doesn't work. Leite pashtina, should bring pashtina, which you can see here in the Surah Tashah, says it's esiv she'enu gas el rachav, not thick, but wide. Translation I saw was fern. Velishlok b'chamra, you should cook it up in wine, velishve, and then you should spread it on her. Lemela kumizovech, get up from your state of ziva. Vilo, that doesn't work. Leite karnoga dehigta romita, should bring the thistles that grow on a Roman thorn bush, the likle, and you should singe them, burn them. The lispa bishkake de kitna bekaito, and then you should bring it along, you should wrap it up with worn linen clothing in the summertime. Bishkake de amar gufna besitva, or with worn down, amar is semer, gufna is geffen. Semer, geffen is cotton, from the worn down cotton clothing besitva in the wintertime. Vilo, that doesn't work. Likre sheva beirib, should dig 7 ditches, borot. Vilikle behu, you should burn in them, shabishta yaldo de orla, a root from a tree that is still orla. Vilinketa kasa de chamar biyadash, you should take a cup of wine in her hand. Vilukumeha velotvaha, she'd sit over one and then move to the next. Vilukumeha velotvaha, and then from that one move to the next one. And each one of them that she sits on and she holds the cup on, you should say, get out of your state of ziva. Vilo, that doesn't work. Laiti smido, you should bring fine flour. Velischa mipalga le tatai, and then you should anoint her with it from, I guess, her waist down. Velimla kumazovech, and then tell her to emerge, come out of her ziva. Vilo, that doesn't work. Vilo, leite biato denimito, bring an ostrich egg. Velikle, and then you burn it up. Velispa bishkake de kitna, and you put it into worn down linen clothing, bekait in the summer. Bishkake amar gufna besitva, or into worn down cotton clothing in the winter. Vilo, that doesn't work. Liftach la chavita de chamar lishma, and open up a barrel of wine in her name. Vilo, that doesn't work. Linkat sa'arta de mishkachat bekaputa de kudna, you should go and pick out the barley seeds that is found in the dung of a kudna chivra, a white mule. Inaktachad yomei, if you pick them out and you give it to her, put it in her hand for one day. Paska tre yomei, that'll stop this for 2 days. Inaktachad yomei, if she does it for 2 days, she holds it in her hand for 2 days. Paska tlata yomei, then it'll stop for 3 days. Vinakta tlata yomei, if she carries this around for 3 days, paska liolam, that would get rid of the problem forever. On to the next part of the Mishnah. The irkona, for jaundice, we said before that you do train b'shichra, two of these ingredients. inside of the beer. Umiakir, and it causes sterility. Vilo, that doesn't work. Laite resha de shivuta. You should bring the head of a fish, but the shivuta is a particular type of fish. The milcha, that is salted. Vilishloch b'shichra, and then you cook it up in beer. Vilishte, and then you drink it. Vilo, laita monine de kamtse. So, as you can see here in the Masorat HaShas, he says that is brine of grasshoppers. Vileka monine de kamtse. If you don't have brine of grasshoppers, laite monine de nikire. Bring brine of locusts. Rashi brings a slightly different version of what this dinikire are. Minofot ktanim. Rashi calls them small birds rather than locusts. Vilayle the bebani. You should go into the bathhouse. Vilishve. And you should rub it on yourself. Vileke bebani. If you don't have a bathhouse in the neighborhood, look me ben tanura the guda. Should sit between the oven and the wall, which was very hot. And between the anointing of this brine plus your sweating, that will help you to eliminate the problem of the jaundice. If someone wants to warm him up, you should wrap him up in his sheet, or the sheet of the chole, of another chole from this sickness, should wrap him up in that sheet, keep him warm. Yosef had this difficulty with the kona. Gana did this, wrapped him up in the sheet. It said he was cured, meaning that the heat from wrapping him up in the sardin caused him to sweat and remove the problem. Vilo, that doesn't work. Lately, tlato kapize, tamre persiato, bring three kapize. Kapize, again, we saw before, was a kli that holds three lugim of Persian dates. Tlata kapize de kira de nishterufe, and you should bring three kapize worth of dripping or molten wax. Vitlata kapize olo tolano, and you should bring three kapize worth of red aloe. And you come up in beer, the lishte and drink it. The loaf, that doesn't work. Leite ila bar chamra. You should bring a foal, that's the child of a donkey. The liglach mitziata deresha, and you shave off the middle of your head. Lishbakle dama meufte, and then you should bloodlet from the forehead of this foal. The lotle areshe, you should put the blood on your head where you shaved it off. Lizar meine, the lishme, though. Make sure that blood doesn't get into your eyes because it will blind you. Vilo, that's not good enough. Leite Reisha de Barcha. You should bring the head of a buck, an ayal. The manach bekivsha. It was pickled, was kept. Kavush. Vilishlok b'shichra, and then cook that up in beer. Vilishte, and then drink it. Vilo. Leite davar acher. Chutrana. You should bring a davar acher, and mar is a pig, a chazir. And chutrana is speckled. You should bring a speckled pig. The kare, rip it open. Vilok ve'alibay, and put it over his heart. Vilo, leite, karte, mi kavtuta. The mishre, you should bring leeks from either it's the area where there's waste, or as Rashi says over here, the most fertile part of the garden, which is in the Emsaruga, Shem Harifim. From the middle of the patch, because they are the most potent, the strongest leeks. Hao Tayo, the Chashve, there was this Arab merchant that had this problem. Amale the Ginai says to the gardener, Shokol, I mean, gardener here means someone who has a garden full of leeks. That shoko glimai, take my cloak. Vavli mishra dekarti. Pick me some of these leeks from the middle of the garden. Yai vle vachla. He went ahead and he ate them. Amle ushlen glimech vigani be kali. Says, listen, can I borrow the coat? I need to just rest in it. I'm feeling cold. I just need to rest in the coat for a short period of time. Ichrach, he wrapped himself up in it. Gani Beni slept in it. Kad Ichamim, his body heated up from all in those leaks. Kam, and he got up. Nafal Purta Purta Mine, the coat fell off of him piece by piece. So this hind gardener lost his leaks and his jacket in this process while this Arab merchant was solving his problem, had the cure. Now we move on to more interesting halachic issues, which are your kona. It comes to your kona, train v'shecha mi'akir. Put two of the ingredients into the beer, and then it causes sterility. Umishari. What I want to know is that mutar. Are you allowed to cause sterility? V'atanya. Minayin sirus ba'adam shu asur. How do you know that sirus, making somebody impotent, removing their reproductive capability in a person is asur? Tamalomar, uba'artzechem lo tasu. Here it's referring to the restriction against making animals sterile. And then it says, Bachem lote asu. Gemara rereads that not only that Ubarachem lote asu, you may not do this in your land, but also Bachem, in you, lote asu, you may not do this to yourselves as well. Divrei Rabbi Chanina. Chani mili hecha de kamikave. That's only when you have intention for it. Hacha miatzmahu. Here it's just a side effect of drinking this kos ikarim. It's not the primary intent. It's not why he wants to do it. It just happens to be a bad side effect of drinking this kos ikarim. Someone who wants to cause a tarnagol not to be able to reproduce. You take his crown, his crest from his head, and then he won't reproduce. It says, can't be, that doesn't work, because over there you have not changed his reproductive capability. He's lost either the desire to reproduce because you removed that which makes him proud or gives him the ability to attract the females. So you've taken away his ability to attract the females or his ability to go out and reproduce, but you haven't changed his reproductive capabilities. And so that's different than what you're speaking over here. Over here, you're literally causing impotence through drinking this kos ikarim. Here you're removing the reproductive capability of the individual, and that will not be the same. Now Tosafot over here points out, very interestingly, he says, wait, over here it says that it's only if he intends for it, which makes it sound that it's of Davar She'eino Mitkaven. Over here he's drinking the kos ikarim, and as in a side effect, it causes sterility. So it's Davar She'eino Mitkaven. He says, well, we know, Rabbi Yehuda says Davar She'eino Mitkaven is asur, and Rabbi Shimon says that Davar She'eino Mitkaven is mutar. And since we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, maybe this should be mutar. I mean that this Gemara is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tosfot first brings down from the Otot that he actually says that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon in Shabbat. Davar She'eino Mitkaven, because it's Melechet Makshevet, Asra Torah. But in Kol HaTorah Kula, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Davar She'eino Mitkaven is Asur. Tosfot says that that can't be the case. He brings proof to the fact that that is not the case and it doesn't work that way. And halacha is consistently like Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda, whether it's in Shabbat or outside of Shabbat. We're going to see Nazir with other areas where Davar She'eino Mitkaven is mutar, according to Rabbi Shimon, and that's the way we paskin. So in the end, he says that even if it's Rabbi Shimon, problem is it's a pasuk reshe. This is a case of pasuk reshe. You drink this, it's automatically going to happen that you're going to be nistaris. And since you have pasuk reshe, that is a problem here. And that might be interesting also, which is it's also a pasuk reshe delo nechale. Pasuk reshe that you don't want to happen. And we saw before this machloket rishonim about what the status of pasuk reshe delo nechale. So there are many that argue here that when pasuk reshe delo nechale, the Aruch says is mutar legamre, that's only the gabe Shabbat where Melechet Makshevet is important. But outside of Shabbat where Melechet Makshevet is not important, then maybe even the Aruch will agree that Psigresha Dlo Nechale is Asur. It's not so simple, because one of some of the examples that we have for the Aruch is like Gemara and Zvachim, which is Mizalfim Agabe Mizbeach, talking about extinguishing the coals on the Mizbeach, not necessarily has to do with Shabbat. So it's not so clear that he doesn't believe that Psigresha Dlo Nechale applies even outside of that. But there are those that want to suggest it here. What's interesting is that at first Tosafot thinks that this might be Al Kab Libra Shitat Rabbi Yehuda, and if that's the case, maybe the Halacha is not like this. In the end, he says it doesn't read. The Reis says in the whole Kol HaTorah Kula Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, and just this is a pasuk reshe, and that's why it's asur, why it's problematic. All right. Now the Gemara says, okay, Ela B'Saris. Case here is in the Mishnah that it's someone who's already impotent, someone who already has the inability to reproduce, so he drinks this kos ikarim because what's the difference? So Amar Rabbi Chir Ba'avan Rabbi Yochanan Kol Mudim. Everybody agrees. Mechametz Achar Mechametz Shu Chayav. If someone causes chimutz, causes rising of the bread, we'll call it, the making of chametz with regards to a mincha. When it comes to a mincha, there's a restriction against allowing a mincha to become chametz. True of anything in the mikdash, there was no chametz allowed in the mikdash. There's only two exceptions to that rule, the korban atodah and the korban shlamim shalmei tzibur that are brought with the shtei lechem on Shavuot. It's the only chametz that's brought into the mikdash. Otherwise, nothing's chametz. And so there is a restriction against making a mincha into chametz, and that is lo te'afeh chametz, but lo taseh chametz. You may not bake it to make it chametz, and you can't make it, process it to be chametz. So the Gemara there in Menachot says, wait a minute, lo taseh chametz also includes lo te'afeh chametz. So why was lo te'afeh chametz singled out? You say you can't make it chametz, then so also you can't bake it to be chametz. Why is lo te'afeh chametz singled out? That is yatzdah l'lumod aleh. It separated itself out to teach you that any single process along the way where you make it chametz, you will be held culpable for that. And that means if multiple people are involved in the process, one needs it. It makes it into chametz. One person is me'arech it, lays it out. The other person bakes it. Each one of those people will be chayav for chametz in a mincha. There, even mechametz echer mechametz, even though the first person is the one who caused it to rise and put the water and the flour together, nevertheless, if you interact with it and you continue to work with this chametz, you are going to be chayav. That's one. Ube misarei sechar misarei shu chayav. That's someone who is impotent. If you continue to be misarei them in a secondary manner, you also will be chayav. Shinamar, because they bring the pasuk that's found in Parshat Emor with regards to mumim. Over there it says, umaoch vikatut vinatuk vikarut. These are different types of mumim that deal with the reproductive organ of the individual. Maoch means bruise, katut means crush. The two that we're going to focus on now are natuk vikarut. Rashi claims karut means that the testicles are severed, but they're still in the scrotum. And natuk is that they're completely removed. The scrotum is gone completely. On the other hand, Tosafot learns that karut means that the testicles are slightly severed. They're not completely severed. Whereas natuk means they're completely severed, but they're still within the scrotum, that the scrotum is not removed. So that's why Tosafot learns it. But either way, do we have here that natuk is more fully removed than karut? So Gemara says, imal karut chayav. If you're chayav for the lesser of the two, according to Rashi, it means the testicles are severed, but in the scrotum. Or, according to Tosafot, it means they're partially severed. Ala natuk lo kol shekein. Then certainly if you do natuk, then you would be chayav, because it's a more extreme form of the karut. So why did the Torah have to mention it? Elo lavin no take achar koreit. To come to tell you that if you do koreit, which is a lighter step, and then you do after that no take, you do even more. According to Tosafot, it's partially severed, the testicle, now you come completely severed. According to Rashi, it was already severed, now you remove the scrotum. Shu chayav. That's your chayav. Meaning that despite the fact that this person is already impotent and sterile because of what you've done, if you continue that process, you're going to be chayav again. So the same thing over here. If you're drinking a kosi karim, just because he's saris, doesn't mean that he's permitted to go then and drink something else that's going to make him, quote-unquote, more misuras. That doesn't work. Ve'ela bizakim. Tell you about someone who is older, someone who has no longer has reproductive capability. And therefore, the sirus doesn't matter anymore. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Hein, eftiruni l'nearutai. Wait a minute. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara in Gittin, more medicinal suggestions there in the Gemara in Gittin, that basically that works like Viagra. Turn me back to my youth. There's no given that just because you're a zakein that you no longer have reproductive qualities. Rav Yochanan says, I got older and I did all these medicinal suggestions and it really worked. I was a young man again and I was back to be reproducing. So the Gemara jumps down and says, Elo b'isha. It's with a woman. So a woman may drink it. Says, well, the assumption here being that there is no Isur Sirus by a woman. Where it says, Elo Rav Yochanan ben Brook, according to Rav Yochanan, Damar Shnehem hu omer, so machloket. The Tanakam and the Chachamim believe that the din of Bruh Urvu only applies to a male, only applies to the man, because in the Pasuk it says that they should be Bruh Urvu, and then it uses the term Vikiv Shua, that you go out and conquer. And so the Gemara darshins on that, Misha Darkolich Bosh, the one who normally goes out and conquers, he's the one that is commanded in the Pasuk of Bruh Urvu. So the mitzvah Bruh Urvu to be fruitful and multiply only applies to a male. That's the din of Chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan Broka says no, it says Bruh Urvu, it says in plural. It says, that God bless them. It's all written in the plural. That means that both the man and the woman are stavu al piriya urivya. If that's the case, if the woman sterilizes herself, makes herself impotent, then she can't be mikayim the mitzvah of Bruh Urvu. Easy answer to the question, which Tosafot raises on the previous Amud, is, okay, just say that she already has children. She already has children, then you don't have a problem with Bruh Urvu. So that Tosafot over here proves that that may not be the case. That even though one has children, it has the requisite number of children to be mekayim the mitzvah Bruh Urvu, there still may be a restriction of preventing oneself from continuing along those lines. And that the mitzvah Bruh Urvu, even if one has accomplished it, there might be a residual mitzvah that one can't prevent. And that's why the Gemara does not give that answer. The Gemara says, Ma'ikul Meimar, what are you going to do for Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? B'skena, talking about an older woman. Inami Bakara, or a woman who is barren. Oh, so right, so what's the difference? The difference is that by a zakein, the Viagra works and can bring him back to his youthful state. For a woman who has reached that age, you can't return her to her youthful state because there is a biological change in the woman that won't allow her to return to her state except for Sarah Imeno, which was a miracle that Hashem returned to that state. But other than that, they assumed that the older woman would not be able to return to a youthful state. Now, Kara, obviously she's barren, she is missing some of her reproductive organs, and there's nothing to speak about. She's not going to be kind of the mitzvah or pru or vu. Now, what's interesting here is, Maskanata Gemara, it seems like there's an Isur Sirus to Gabe animals. The Gemara didn't really just deal with it here, it deals with it in other places in Chas about animals themselves. there is an isur sirus, the gabei a man. Question is, the gabei isha, the gabei a woman, is there a isur against getting, a hysterectomy, getting something that removes her reproductive organs? Is that an isur? Now it's clear, if there's any danger to life, it's a sakana, that there's no question that the woman can have the operation done, because there's no mitzvah Torah that prevents us doing anything when it's sakanat nefashot. Question is, when there is no sakanat nefashot, or possibly in side effects from treatments, when there are side effects from other treatments that happen to do this, what do we say? So again, if there's sakanat nefashot, there's nothing to talk about. But if there's not, then you have to start to wonder, if it's a side effect of the treatment, and it's not a life-endangering disease, or what you're treating for is not life-endangering, is there an isur on the woman to have sirus done to her, to have it removed? The question really relates to a Torat Kohanim, as well as a Tosefta that brings a machloket between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakhama says chayav, Rabbi Yehuda says patur. The Rambam paskins based on that. Rambam paskins that the sur. It's a machloket between the Gra and the Magid Mishnah, what the Rambam was doing. The Magid Mishnah says that the Rambam was paskining like Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakhama says chayav, Rabbi Yehuda says patur. But he says patur aval asur. Patur mi makot, but he still Asur. You could have read that, Rabbi Yehuda, as Patur of Asur, Midoraita even. That's the way the Magid Mishnah reads it, it's Patur of Al Asur, Midorabanan. And he says that the Rambam is paskening like Rabbi Yehuda in the Tosefta and the Torah's Kohanim. On the other hand, the Gra says no. Gra says when the Tanakhama says Chayav, it doesn't mean Chayav Makot, it means Chayav because you're violating the mitzvah Taseh. And that's why you're Chayav. Rabbi Yehuda says you're Patur from that mitzvah Taseh. And the Rambam is paskening like the Tanakhama according to the Gra. And paskening like the Tanakhama, he says it's Asur Midoraita for a woman to do shlats because there's an Asay Midoraita. And he's paskening like that Tanakhama. So Machlok between the Gra and the Magid Mishneh, whether there's an Isur Doraita or Isur Derabanan. According to the Magid Mishnah, the Rambam is passing to Osir Midrabanan, because he's passing like Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Gra, it's Osir Midoraita, because he's violating a mitzvah Taseh, and he's passing like the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yehuda, that he is Chayav, but Chayav for a mitzvah Taseh, not Chayav Makot. Because the Rambam says, you're Patur mi Makot, but you're Asur. What's the Isur that's there? Is it an Isur Taseh? We're talking about an Isur Midrabanan. So that's left as a machloket between them, as to whether the Isur that we have by an Isha is clearly not Mutar. It's not Mutar the Gamre. The only question is, what is the residual Isur, restriction against a woman having a Sirus Dunter? Is it a Isur Doraita, or which is what the Gra suggests, or is it only an Isur Derabanan, which is what the Magid Mishnah suggests for a woman to go through such a procedure? The other question that arises is whether it applies to non-Jews as well. Sirus also have application to non-Jews, machloket, whether it's one of the Shiva mitzvot b'nei Noach, one of those Noachide laws, and has broader implications, because if it is one of the Noachide laws, it might also have implications for Jews in terms of lifnei iver lo titen michshol. It might be a restriction against the Jew, or aiding and abetting with a non-Jew, in terms of lifnei iver lo titen michshol with regards to Sirus. So that question of whether Sirus is one of the Shiva mitzvot b'nei Noach also has implications, not only for non-Jews, but also for Jews themselves and how they interact. So that have broader implications. Again, that's a machloket. Within the Gemara itself is a machloket, and within the poskim, it's a machloket about whether Sirus applies to non-Jews. We'll stop over here.